for those of you who are visiting or are relatively new, we have tables every week. You can go when you're ready to go during the second half of the service after the teaching. This morning, we have a special thing on the communion table that Renee asked Paige to do, which is honey and apples. So this morning, very much of our Jewish heritage is a part of our service today. The honey and apple is part of the Rosh Hashanah, the new year, the Jewish and biblical new year. Those apples and honey stand for God's blessings of health and healing and sweetness and all those wonderful things. And you're invited to go to the table both for the communion time but also for the apples and honey anytime during the second half. And you can go back more than once if you want, since there's quite a nice celebration snack there to go with the communion time. This today is Rosh Hashanah, by the way, and as Kevin said last week in the teaching, for many of us in this community, this is our new year, too. This whole community runs on the school year and the university year, so this is the Rosh Hashanah, the new year of the Bible. I might just say one other thing about the communion table. I really believe that God is present when you go to the table, if we allow him to be. That God's presence is promised, that Jesus said we could go remembering what God did through Jesus, and that is a promise that whether you feel it or whether you don't, some days you will, some days you won't, but God is there and here. For you, those of you who haven't been here or were here kind of off and on, one of the themes of the summer was various ones of us getting up and saying why a specific song we sing was very important to you. I'm going to do this morning something I've never done before as a part of teaching, and that is I'm going to teach from a song. But this song is very much a part of the scriptures, and Caroline's going to come in a few minutes and read the scripture for us. But just to introduce it, I want to be sure a few of you have heard me say that our song time for many years, Donna could tell you, she knew me when I was very young and rebellious, which, of course, I'm not anymore, either of those. I didn't even go to church until the songs were over, or to chapel until the songs were over, if I could help it, because I didn't care about it. I didn't think it was important. Through the years, I learned that it was an important thing. And then finally, I learned that it wasn't really just about singing, that these songs are incredible prayers. And when I began to make the singing time a prayer time, God really has changed it for me greatly. Now, you know, those prayers, some of these prayers, when we sing them, I say, boy, I wish I was there, but I'm not feeling it very much today. But I want to be. Some of them, I say, well, you know, I'm not sure I would have quite said it that way. But, you know, some of my, well, I hope that's true, but God help me, my doubts, my fears. Many of them, in fact, most of them, what I find is I sing them saying, God, I know I've come a long way, but I've got so far to go. We've come a long way, but we've got so far to go. Keep helping make this real and more full and keep us growing and take us there. So the song that I picked, and I said I've never taught from a song before, is My Sun and Shield. It's a song that for me has kind of become my national anthem, the anthem of the kingdom, if you want to say it that way. Another one of mine is the one we sang this morning in honor of Amy, How Could I Keep From Singing. Those just are songs of God's kingdom for me. And my allegiance and my heart all is stirred every time we sing those. And that's true of this song, My Sun and My Shield. So I'm going to ask Caroline to come and read Psalm 84 that this comes from, and then we'll just kind of think through the song together as part of the teaching. Thank you, Caroline.
Lord God, all-powerful, your temple is so lovely. Deep in my heart, I long for your temple, and with all that I am, I sing joyful songs to you. Lord God, all-powerful, my King and my God, sparrows find a home near your altars. Swallows build nests there to raise their young. You bless everyone who lives in your house, and they sing your praises. You bless all who depend on you for their strength, and all who deeply desire to visit your temple. When they reach dry valley, springs start flowing, and the autumn rain fills it with pools of water. Your people grow stronger, and you, the God of gods, will be seen in Zion. Lord God all-powerful, the God of Jacob, please answer my prayer. You are the shield that protects your people, and I am your chosen one. Won't you smile on me? One day in your temple is better than 1,000 elsewhere, anywhere else. I would rather serve in your house than live in the homes of the wicked. Our Lord and our God, you are like the sun and also like a shield. You treat us with kindness and with honor, never denying any good thing to those who live right. Lord God, all-powerful, you bless everyone who trusts you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Chris, if you would just put the first lines of the song up here, I just want to talk it through with you. Now, I want to say up front, I'm going to kind of talk to the intellect side of this and think about the different words and what they mean. But what I do know is that God's presence is not a bunch of ideas. It's God's presence and experience. And this song says that. That's part of what it says. And I said I'd never taught from a song before, but that really isn't quite true, because all the psalms are songs. That's what they were written for, and this one has just been brought now into modern English, as Caroline just read it. How lovely is your dwelling place? Now, you know, I used to kind of sing that and think, well, you know, wherever God is, or God up there, however we have to think, or God. But actually, if you think about the psalmist when they wrote, and the psalm tells us this, he wasn't thinking about God far away. It was God's dwelling place, particularly, especially, the temple and the tabernacle, because he talks about the courts of God. So the writer was saying, I really find it lovely, God, when I realize you are here. So when we sing that, part of what we're praying, part of what we're asking to be open to, is that God is really here. And we let God be here like God wants to be, present with us. It's a lovely thing to experience God's presence. The writer went ahead and said, O Lord of hosts. Now that's a phrase that I kind of always tend to slide over, but it's actually a powerful phrase. It's a testimony that the writer believes, I believe, that God is the God of all history, the God of all the spiritual powers, bigger than all the powers that are at work in the world. In fact, it could easily be translated, the God of armies, or the God of the angelic hosts, of all the powers, God is more so. Now, one of the experiences that we often have, and the psalmist remembers, is sometimes our relationship with God is just one of longing and fainting and just, to put it in the most graphic of words, Jesus' prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where have you gone? Why can't I touch you? Why can't I feel your presence? Sometimes it's a hungering and thirsting more than I'm experiencing. Next slide. But sometimes my experience of God is that my heart and flesh, and to unpack that, the heart's the core of our being, the flesh is our body, my whole being, my body, everything, I can just be joyful because God, I'm experiencing God's presence, God's blessings, I'm thrilled with what's happening. And sometimes it's both, right? Sometimes there's a longing and fainting and a joy, and they're side by side. And on any given Sunday, even as we're small today, but even as number of us that are here today, on any given Sunday, some of us are sitting here longing and fainting, and some of us are joyful and in touch with blessings and goodness and experiences that are just overwhelmingly good. And one of the prayers that I can pray and you can pray is when I'm longing and fainting, I can be thankful that somebody is joyful, because that reminds me I have been. It's real. And when I'm joyful, I can remember somebody's not. Somebody's hurting. And somehow we pray that God will deal with both of us and touch us both and all as we go. And with just one more before you go there, Chris. To the living God. Again, that's a phrase I can easily slide over. But you know, many people don't really let God show that God's alive, that God's real and active. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I forget God's even here. Sometimes it gets to be an idea rather than sometimes it's my other gods and your other gods. But God is a living God, an active God, the source of life itself. Now the next one. For a day in your presence is far better to me than gold. There is no American in the world that doesn't need to be reminded of that. One of our cultural gods is money. There's no denying that. We even call ourselves a capitalist society. I mean, it's our God, one of our gods. So I constantly need to be reminded. God's presence is far better than gold. Living my whole life or living my whole life somewhere else. That was one of the first ways that God began to get hold of my life, part of why this song is so powerful for me. I was a young student engineer at the University of Tennessee with the Tennessee Valley Authority, working with a bunch of people who had all the things that I wanted out of life. They had money, they had jobs, they had families, they had all the nice cars, nice homes. And I began to realize that many of them, and they were all men in my office back then in engineering, many of them were bored to death with their jobs. They were bored with their wives and their families. They were bored with all their toys and their cars. They wanted new ones because they thought that was going to fix it, but they'd already had many new ones, and they still were bored with them. They were bored with the TVA. Many of them were bored with life. And so I started thinking, surely there must be more than I thought there was, or else we're in trouble as human beings. Now, it took me a while to realize that it wasn't about being an engineer or about working in an office that was the problem, because I went to a Bible college and I began to see and experience students were bored with studying about God, professors were bored with teaching theology, professors were bored with teaching the Bible, people were, you might guess, boredom is one of the things that's not good for me. So I'm using that word. You could use other words. But boredom's not good for me. So I began to realize it really wasn't about which job we happen to take. It's about whether or not we live our life in the presence of God or we don't. For me, it's totally that. Moving out of the presence of God is a guarantee that the meaning of life will begin to slip away from me. And it won't mean anything, no matter what I'm doing or where I am. Many of the pastor I know who's gotten bored with being a pastor jumped into affairs or into other things. It doesn't matter what you're doing. We either let God be alive and present or we live somewhere else and it's not good. Next one. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your fold than to take my fate upon myself. Julian, am I right? Do I remember that you told me that the name Rappaport, your last name, means doorkeeper? Right. So, coming out of that Jewish background, the doorkeeper. But in the Bible, the doorkeeper was one of the more lowly jobs in the temple. You could be a priest, you could be a high priest, you could be a Levite, you could be many things, or you could be a doorkeeper. You could be a singer, or you could be a doorkeeper. I would rather be, and boy, do I believe this. I have never, we sing those songs, they're great songs, about the crown and the great rewards that God wants to give his people. I believe that, I really do. But that's never been what motivates me. What's always motivated me is the hope that I can walk into God's presence and Jesus will smile at me. Because then I'll know I'm okay. Doesn't matter how high or low, doesn't matter how many rewards. I want to be there. In God's future, but in God's presence, now. It doesn't matter the accolades. They really don't last for anybody. I often think about all the great people of history and how bored I was studying them in history. It just doesn't last, no matter what. than to take my fate upon myself. As I said, I don't want to stand before God trying to say I deserve to be here now or in the future in the judgment of God. I want to stand there with Jesus' love and smile. Next. For you are my sun and shield. Beautiful imagery. But think about it for a minute. The sun, what's the sun? It's the source of everything that we are, right? It's the source of God's provision, of food, of life, of warmth, of everything. The shield. So the source of provision, shield, the protection. And as much as sometimes that protection feels like it's not all I want it to be, I am very aware, and you should be very aware, God's protection is unbelievably important, and we do have it, and that will carry right on into God's future. And then there's the third promise. The provision, the protection, but the one that's most amazing of all, that God loves us. Really is committed to us and cares about us. What an amazing God. And then the challenge. The highway to your city, the highway to your presence here and future, has to run through my heart. Now, if you think about the core of your being, the invitation today as we go to the communion tables, you know, all of these can be ideas or they can be, I want to open my core of my being to more of your presence. I want your spirit and your life to run right through me and out into the world because that's the way to your city. Would you pray with me? And then after communion time, we're going to sing the song together. Oh, and I will say this. When we sing the song, don't try to remember every concept I just talked about. Just open yourself to God's presence and let him touch you with whatever part of it God would like to touch you with today. Father, as people valuable enough that you want to be our sun, our shield, and our lover, and as people who know we're undeserving enough that even being a doorkeeper would be an incredible gift to being in your presence. Please draw us to you. Amen.